Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 57, On the Way Again, part 9. Today is Friday, July 25th, 2008. I am Janine Arnopoulos, your hostess with the mostess, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. The message, On the Way Again, part 9, was originally recorded January 20th, 1985. It runs about 90 minutes. You can subscribe to the podcast at Pastor Paul's blog, and that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. You can also make a comment at the blog, or you can call our comment line. That number is 1-715-808-0318. If you'd like to send me an email, the address is janine@pastorpaul.org. Be sure to visit our homepage, www.pastorpaul.org. At the top of the homepage, you'll see interactive links that directly go to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, which holds numerous pictures of Pastor Paul's mission, the podcast, our shop, which is being reconstructed, Twitter, and YouTube, which is a new interactive link. At YouTube, you will see a couple of films we've got up at this time, and we will be adding more films in the future. So be sure to visit the interactive links at the top of Pastor Paul's homepage, which again is www.pastorpaul.org. We are reconstructing our website, and we are hoping it is very engaging. Today's message contains many scriptures, and I have the links at the show notes, so be sure to go to the blog, and you'll see the show notes. Pastor Paul defines Christ and the kingdom as the person and the order. He talks about having a personal relationship with the Lord and how, as an individual, we're very involved socially. So there's two aspects to that relationship. And we all must make a decision. So it's not something you're born into. It's a personal decision. And that when you seek the Lord, you will find contact, conflict, conversion, cultivation, and contribution. At the end of the message, Pastor Paul talks about Nicodemus and the two births. Nicodemus asks Jesus about being born again. Listen to that. If you want to make a comment at the blog, be sure to do that. Call the comment line. Go to the website. Be sure to join us next Friday, episode 58, On the Way Again, part 10. Until then, God bless you and have a great week.
On the Way Again, part 9. On the Way Again. Part 9. Now, in the last few weeks, we have been talking about the way, which is Jesus Christ. Some say the gifts are past, and some say that miracles are passed away, and the apostles and the prophets and the healings have passed away. You see, because they have a form of religion denying the power thereof. But they say Jesus is still the way to salvation. You can go ahead and pray. They don't expect anything to happen. But the rest is all passed away. And some even use scriptures to prove it. They try to limit the Lord. They try to limit the Word of God. They challenge God's people. Prove you are God sounds to me like Mount Carmel. What should we do? Call any experts? No. In the time of trouble, call upon the name of the Lord and He will answer. Are you hearing this today? Call upon the name of the Lord and He, are you hearing this, will answer. He is our proof. Jesus is our proof. You just go ahead on doing good works, and it says in the Bible, don't get weary in doing well. God will answer. God will bring in the funds, and God will bring in the goods, and God will fill up the storehouse, the church, to full to overflowing. If you haven't seen anything yet, next Thursday we're going to have the liver caper. That's 6,000 pounds of liver that's coming into this building is going to be cut up by 12 union butchers. Think on that one. See, God is bringing a spirit of giving and a spirit of working it out, seeking the Lord for an answer. And God says, work it out within the body. Work it out. Challenge the people to come on in and get busy. Don't worry about the high prices. I'll show you another way. Unity. Hallelujah. We had a lot of unity, we wouldn't have 15 churches in every block having to heat them all. Say amen. Whoa. See, there's got to be the order and there's got to be the reason. Let me read a piece of scripture here. Are you hearing this today? Get involved. Use your ears. This is Acts 8 and 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. We are in a time of God's movement. I am amazed. People that come into the church are amazed at what God is doing. And I think when we come to church, we should be amazed and that we should marvel, like it says in Mark, at the wonderful works. Take not lightly the miracles of the Lord. We are in the middle of a miracle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are in the middle of God working it out in the midst of poverty and taxation and hunger and rebellion and arguing and competing. God says, don't pay no attention. That is not the issue. Feed my sheep. But anyway, we have traveled many ways the last few weeks. And it seemed, I know, of course, every way ran into the way. But then I heard someone say not too long ago, but there are two ways. And I thought on that, and I said, yes, and they're both scriptural. One is a person, Christ, another, an order, the kingdom of God. In one, the way Jesus makes loyalty to himself first. Luke 14, 25 through 27 says, and now a great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's in comparison. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now that's first. But then in Matthew 6 and 33 he says, seek ye first the kingdom. Order or kingdom? You've always got people try to trap you in some kind of a little thing. Oh, what does this mean here? And what does that mean there? A lot of times I just feel that spirit. You know what I say? I don't know. I change the subject. Because it'll lead to another quiz. I'm not in this for quizzes. I'm in here to do God's work. Say amen, somebody. You ever been around somebody like that? Gives you little quizzes all the time? But anyway, I thought on that. Order or kingdom, which is first? Let's look closely at the facts today. Jesus began with the kingdom. He went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4 and 23. But before he was through, he began to preach the gospel of himself. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, in John 14 and 6. And then he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest, in Matthew 11:28. And so he made, for the kingdom of God's sake, Luke 11:28, and for my sake, one and the same. When you seek the kingdom, you're going to find the king, and the king of the kingdom is Jesus Christ. And that kills that little argument, doesn't it? The person and the kingdom were one. This, I find, makes the way impersonal an order, and personal a person. If it were impersonal only, it would be unsatisfactory. I can be loyal to an order, but I can't love an order. I can be loyal to the printed word, but I can't love it. You can be loyal, let me put it another way. Someone gives you rules and regulations for your job. You can be loyal to those rules and regulations, but you don't love them. But when you get a person you love, then you love the orders that they give. If you love me, you will obey me. You will obey my word. Hallelujah. If you love me, you will obey me. See, I can only love a person who gives the order. Our printed order and our printed rules are needed, but they must be backed by a person that we love. You really love your parents, you want to obey them. You don't love them, you won't want to obey them. So first is love. But then again, if it were a person only, then religion would be a personal relationship with a person and no order. That's like having a boss and you just love him, but he doesn't have no orders for you. What good is that? And there are so many people that say, I love Jesus, but they don't go to Jesus for their order. They order God around. You know what? God doesn't even hear them. That's like you get on a long-distance telephone with God, see, and he's saying, wait a minute, I want to talk, and he hangs up on you. That's all you're going to get. Until you get right, there's going to be a busy signal. Beep, 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 beep. That's all you're going to get. Because you can't love God and not obey him. That's the way it is. He'll still love you, but he won't listen to you. Because it says in the Bible, if there be iniquity in your heart, I can't even hear you. You call long distance all you want to. There's going to be a busy signal. Sorry. Let me say that again. But if it were a person only, then religion would be only a personal relationship with a person, but no order. That's good, but not good enough. We need the person, the intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way you can have that is to accept him as your personal Savior. And once you have him and you're to enter the kingdom work, then you have to obey him. And if you're feeling like you're kind of down and you're not with it, it's because you're not obeying God. You haven't called him up and said, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? And you make excuses. Use the husband, use the wife, use the pastor, use everything, but my God, don't do anything. And I'm talking to the radio audience today and the tape freaks. Say amen, somebody. And see if I ever buy your tape again. I'm talking to people that buy tapes and they never go to church. Or they sit home and they watch TV. And they never get involved in the body. They never have a personal relationship with people. They could care less about people starving in Africa Or in Minneapolis, as far as that goes. They could care less. Oh, they'll get in their pocket, they get convicted, they'll send $2. But they don't get personal. They're not Christ-like. Say amen, somebody. No, I know there's a lot of you out there on the radio that need to hear this. Let's give it to them today. I think we need to challenge people. That's why there's so much upset. We're not obeying God. We're obeying God. We're happy. We need the person, the intimate, the personal. We also need the ultimate, the order. When you can take orders, my God, then that's the ultimate in Christianity. Now, I know even in my own walk, when I tried to follow the Lord years back, seemed like no one wanted to go that way because it involved work. Now, I know I was brought up for it. I know I was. I was always a worker. And I know there's workers out there. I know you people in here today are workers. Why? You're here. You're here. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. My religion, I should say, the way, is individual and it's social. Don't be afraid of that word, social. And so in having a relationship with a person, we have a relationship with the new order in the person. Hidden in Christ in God. Your orders are in Christ. One, that by example, by giving his life for the kingdom, to start a new order. Hey, this is it. I'll give my life for it. I'll stake my life for it. And then I'll rise up and I'll give the order. Onward. Move. Oh, now don't you want to get into a kingdom like that with a king like that and get involved? Now our order is total because it involves a personal relationship with a personal Savior. It also involves the ultimate, the order from the personal Savior in the kingdom of God, the King. Whew. Say amen. It was only the King that got you out there to do that bus out there in that cold last night. I want you to know that. Say amen. It gave you the grace, Jim, to go ahead and do that, that your heart was right. You went out there and did it. My God, that was wonderful. The rest of you dedicated people in here, that is so wonderful. Brother back there, Rick, with that furnace yesterday, trying to get that old thing woofing down in there, and he got it going. See, that's what I'm talking about. Get excited about the King and the kingdom. Don't argue, well, which is first, kingdom or Jesus? Well, they're one. See, you need them both. You need them both for the balance. The way, then, is Jesus Christ full of the order. It's an individual. It's collective. This is the way of God. A personal God with orders. Some people can't take orders. Did you know that? God tells them to do something. I mean, even the parent tells them to do something. They can't do it. They got to flat-foot it out of the room. Say amen. I think that's why we got so much trouble, because we never brought our children up right in the first place. We allowed them to have their own way. How many are hearing this today? You all want to hear it in here today? Then open up your ears and hear it. Hallelujah. And you on the radio on tape, hear it. Acts 28:23-31. And when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. Whew. Have you set a day for the Lord? And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from the morning until evening. I mean, you talk about me preaching a long time. He tried to persuade these people either from the law or from Jesus Christ, use them both. And from the prophets, from morning until evening. And some were being persuaded, it goes on, by the things that were spoken, for others would not believe. When you preach and when you witness, there's going to be people that will believe it and they won't believe it. It's not your job to make them believe it. You just give the word out there. Some will, some won't. But don't give up. He preached from morning until night. What time is it? And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one departing word. Listen. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to the people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And that's the way the church is right now today. The body of Christ worldwide. They have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return. And I should heal them. Oh, what a healing we need in the body of Christ right now. What a healing there needs to be. Let it be known to you, therefore, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. I mean, if nobody's going to listen, go on out into the highways, into the byways, and minister to the low, base, perverted things of this world to confound the wise and bring them into the feast. And when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. Among themselves. Now, see, you don't have to dispute the word. If people are going to argue, let them argue amongst themselves. At least you get them going. You get them thinking, and then you don't stand there and argue a point. That's like downstairs. A couple of guys came in, and they were zomped. They were zombies. Now, I don't mind people picking on me, but they started picking on John here and a few others and started to rattle their cages about what Christians should be and not be and all this old thing, and they were both high on drugs and alcohol. So I called the one guy over and said, come on over here. He came over there and I said, get out. Just go. I want you to leave. Well, I went home with that, and George called me up and says, you know, the guy you kicked out came back. He wants to come in for counseling. You don't like that kind of tactics? Well, hey, Christians, you better get used to that kind of tactics. You do not allow the devil to come in and scare little children. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Get out. Because you all had given him the word, he didn't want to hear it, so now is the time to leave. Go. Said it, and I'm glad. Oh, and listen. Ooh, this is so good. And when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute amongst themselves, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. He didn't want nothing from him. I'll rent out my own. In his own rented quarters. How many are hearing this? And welcoming all who came to him. He didn't argue with them. He gave them the word. Receive it or get out. And he rented out his own quarters, and then they started coming to him. And what was he preaching? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Don't let people hinder you from preaching the gospel. He didn't get all mad and excited. He preached the gospel and said, well, he don't want to hear it, get out. He rented out some quarters and they came to him. Now, what was that you were saying? Woo! Isn't that precious? Whew, isn't it? Well, say it is. I think it is. I love it. Whew. Let's read another piece of scripture here. Now we'll go on here. So now we have a person and an order, and that is the way. But the definition is not enough. To define this for you is not enough. It must be a decision. You listening on the radio, listen to this tape, you must make a decision. I can talk to you all day long, like Paul did, but you in the end are going to have to make a decision to follow Christ, to get into the kingdom of God, where there's a king, where there's a new order, a new law, a love law that has you to love doing the things for God. Not because you have to, but because you want to. How many want to do things for God? A lot of people don't. Sorry to say it, but it's truth. They don't want to do it. But something goes against grain, something they don't want to do. No, listen, don't turn that radio off. How many hearing this? Ooh, but then we have people reviewing Christ. Christ on review. And they review him. And they look him over. Well, I wonder if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why am I having all these problems? I just want to, can I call upon his name to help me in this situation I'm in this building, in this feeding of the multitudes? I wonder if it's the same fish and loaves ministry. I wonder if it could happen again. They review Christ. Can you imagine that, checking God out? People do it all the time in their mind. Will he help me? Shall I call upon his name or some other big name? Do we have enough fruit? Do you want to move in God? Then don't doubt God. How many are hearing this? Does he still save? Does he still heal? Will he help me with my finances? Who shall we look to? Oh, raffle tickets? Bingo? Booyah bowls or spaghetti feeds? Are you afraid to be proved wrong? Last week, I probably was proved wrong in my spirit about a dozen times. I thought I was doing it right, and God says, that's wrong. Are you afraid of that? Preachers listening, are you afraid that you might be proved wrong? Well, if you are, why? That just makes God right, doesn't it? Let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says. See, next to God, we're all liars. See, we're dealing with truth now. I mean, when we say to someone, I really love you, brother, I mean, that's truth as far as you can carry it, see? But according to God's rules, that's a lie because he knows everything. And that's the best you can do, like a little child. I love you. Yeah, if you get your milk and your diapers changed and you get everything done for you. You want to see a mean kid? Don't feed them. Don't change their diapers. Give them a swat. Tell them no, no. Oh, child brutality. Don't ever do that. That's why there's such a mess right now today, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Isn't it funny, after we raise our kids, we can always give others advice on how to raise theirs. And our kids, a lot of times, are still stinkers. I said it, and I'm glad. It's just that they're not around you now as much. They're giving the world a hard time. You got them off your back. A lot of times parents like to see their kids go in the army. Oh, shape them, Uncle Sam. Do a number on them. Oh. See, now they can get out so easy, it doesn't do no good. I don't like it. Okay, go home. Years ago, they'd lock you up in Leavenworth for 2 years. If you're overseas, they shot you. I bet there'd be no deserters in the house of God if you did that. But anyway, going on, well, can we trust God? Don't let pride enter in here either. Let your body enter in. A prideful person can always find excuses for not doing things. Well, I think it's a mother's duty to stay home 24 hours a day and watch the house. What are you going to do in that house for 24 hours besides go insane? You need an outside interest. How can you stand looking at all those walls all day long? I'm just going to stay here and do my wifely duties. Oh, and they get so mean while they stay home all that time and do their wifely duties. That's how women's lib started. Unsatisfied, uneducated. I mean, people that just, you know, on top, a lot of lesbians in that group also. Are you hearing it? Not that the men are all right. Don't you see what a mess we have? There is an order here on earth that says, whatever your bag is, baby, you want to be a lesbian or a homosexual or whatever it is, we'll tell them what to do. They ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen to it. I know it is not a God. Say amen, somebody. How many hearing it? I know this is a lot of times people don't like this kind of preaching, but it's the truth. Now, what would we do with a whole army of homosexuals? Say amen, somebody. We are in a sad state. We need to take charge, church. Do your thing, but don't come around. Don't try to spoil. But don't let pride let it enter into this. Let your body roll up your sleeves. Enter in. Pray, fast, seek God, expect. We have the new way. What are we going to do with the order? What are we going to do with the new order and the king? We have it. What are we going to do with it? Examine it? Put Jesus on a flannel board or chalkboard or just examine it and walk around Jesus? Well, never have God as a personal God, never have Jesus as a personal Savior. Stop reviewing Christ. Receive and follow. The end is seek, not see. Window shopping for Jesus and a kingdom that will fit into our plan. Well, let's go over here in this. This is a new version of the kingdom of God over here. Sit and see. No, that's not the kingdom of God language. It's seek and find. Call and he'll answer. Seek ye first the kingdom and all shall be added unto you. Not see ye first. So many people want to see first. Show me. Show me. Huh? Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Huh? No, it's seek. It's active seeking. And ye shall find. One time I did ministry, I don't know when, I ministered so much, talking all the time, it seems. But, you know, one time I did, I remember this anyway, that I said, it's like a little child. And I said, when you're a father, you leave one foot hang out the back, hide and seek, you leave one foot hang out behind the davenport so the kid will find you. It's not hard to find God. He'll leave evidences so you'll find him. And the little kid runs around, Daddy, where are you? Sometimes the kid ain't too smart. You've got to put a hand and a leg up from behind a couch. Oh, I found you, Daddy. I found you. Oh, you found me. Oh, I thought I was hidden so good. And it's the same with our Father. Seek. He wants you to get active. He isn't going to make it real hard for you to find him. Some people say, I've been looking for God for... You know, my whole of my adult life, I haven't found him yet. You haven't been looking. You haven't made a decision to find him. Because you're afraid when you do find him, he might tell you a few things about the order. Because if we go by sight, we're going to be confused. I know this, that sight makes us to desire that which looks good. Maybe that's the way it sure looks good. Sure looks good. How many people are going down the sure looks good road right now? Oh, that looks so good. It looks so good, and these are all part of the church, the praise service and the worship service. Everybody should be there in time for that. But some people go to church just for the praise and the worship. That's all. Oh, that sure looks good, but see, they don't do anything with it. God enters your praises. While he's entered your praises, then you have to go ahead and take orders from God. There's always orders from the kingdom of God. And you can always tell when you're rebellious and God is dealing with it because you rebel against God's order, which is hidden in Christ. Or they like this, or they like prosperity. Oh, and they sort of pipe dream. Did you ever do that? I did that in the natural. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have a nice big boat over here like that, a big yacht? I wonder if that yacht would cross the ocean. Wouldn't that be neat? And you have all the fuel and all you wanted to eat, and you just sail off into the sunset, sailing out there, you know, and a little galley downstairs, and you could call down to wifey, wife, is dinner ready yet? This Laka laka hala hui, and Hawaii past the islands and go on out, oh, way out, go to all the countries and just, and that's what people are into right now. Sort of traveling and floating around and, oh, thank you, God, we're in Hawaii for a big meeting down here. Now, let's sail over to Israel, oh, yeah, huh? And they're always sailing around. But they don't want to get involved. And so they get into the prosperity teaching because it helps them with their daydreams. Wouldn't it be nice if they never get involved? They never want to do any suffering. And if suffering comes, they, I don't understand this. Where's God now that I need him? And they forget all about God. First little storm comes up and sends their ship into the rocks. Say amen, somebody. Now, is that the truth? And then we have those that do everything by faith. But they never do it. They never try to work it out. Faith without works is dead. How many are hearing this? The other day I was on the top stair down here. Turned around, I locked the door, and I was going to get up, and I backed up, and I had these big clubby work shoes on. I wasn't used to wearing them. And I somehow lost my balance from about this height, a little higher, about like this. And I felt myself going. And I caught this leg in here. There's a knob on there you wouldn't believe. I caught my leg and it hit on that hard cement downstairs in that back doorway. And I went all the way down, quump! And as I was going down, I thought, oh my God, I can't do nothing about this. And that thought went through my mind. I thought three or four thoughts as I was going backwards. Unbelievable. And then I heard a snap, and I thought I was laying down there, my leg underneath me, and I was laying down, and my man, that cement floor, and I said, my God, I broke my leg. You know, my very next thought was, I got to get up and get a cast on this thing. I got to preach tomorrow. So I thought, no, I'm not going to move. And I was laying there and I was thinking, I was, oh, Jesus. I said, I'm sorry about whatever. What's going on? You know, I'm just laying there. I thought, oh, man. Oh, Lord. Just laying there. I thought, I ain't going to move because I was knocked out. That's why. So then I finally got up and I thought, hey. And I started walking. I thought, oh, I forgot the alarm. And then I went back and I got involved. And I thought, hey, I'm walking around this broken leg. I already had broke my leg once. It ain't broke. Oh, my God. I was already worried about how I was going to get up here. Oh, how am I going to? Well, I have to get a cast put on right away. I got to get up and preach. But there's people all over. Let's run down to Texas and find out why they have such an effective revival down there. And why their bus ministry is so big. That's because they got 14 buses and they got 14 dedicated bus drivers that go out on Saturdays and Sundays whenever they have to go out, feed and clothe and do all these things like Jim does and just gets involved with his bus ministry. Maybe they have a new way. Let's go see. They don't seek Jesus. They seek someone else. Well, how did you do it? I say, let us leave our way and go to the Lord's way. A lot of people just leave the way, period, don't they? They leave their task and they leave the sheep. Now, in the end, you're going to see a shifting of ministries. And you've received all these papers about what a great move there is here and a great move there is there and a great move there is here. All of a sudden, you're going to see a lot of sheep left. And you'll hear that this person's going to be over in this area and this person over in that area. But what happens to those sheep? Hey, preachers, I am a little bit careful about that. What would happen to the sheep down here if the preacher and the board members and the people involved here would just sort of move out? You're going to see a lot of that, though. Well, how do we do it? That's the next question. Contact. Contact Jesus first. A lot of times you'll see him many, many times, you won't even know it. And then conflict. As soon as you seek Jesus and then you get into what Jesus is doing, then a conflict comes and then we argue a while. And then there's a conversion, a give up. Oh, I just give up. How many have gone through them stages? I go through them just about every week. And then there's a cultivation period, and that's let him plow us all up, plow all of our attitudes up. Oh, is that painful when God starts plowing our attitudes. When he sets the plow in, see, you just whip the strap around, see, and you set the plow. Okay. Hey, through your attitudes. He plows up all your attitudes, all your melancholy baby attitudes. All of your smiley-dily attitudes. Doesn't that look crazy? Have you done that this week? I did a couple times. You get that crazy self in there? And you know it? And then God comes in with a plow. And you think everybody knows? You'd like to go hide someplace? Huh? That's God dealing with your attitudes. Even little people have attitudes. I don't want to. You know what? God's going to plow them up. You aren't going to like it. God's dealing with you. It's cultivation time with your attitudes. And he plows them, but you can put them to work. They're manure. They're fertilizer. All those old things that I knew, Paul says, I count as dung. Fertilizer. And then a contribution comes in. You start to become givers instead of takers. Oh. And then you start to get free. Now you're starting to contribute. Now your smile is real. Now your walk is real. Oh, how we hate to give up things. Now when Easter comes, I'm not against painted Easter eggs. My God, eat them until you bloat. But I mean, sometimes people just love to have their little, they'll save them in boxes, their little Easter things. But why not put Jesus up there? Why not magnify Christ? Put the egg back a little bit anyway, back here, see? But those are old hang-on attitudes. And already I feel rebellion come up. Ooh, this has been in our family for years. We painted these eggs. I mean, they just carry on like with these eggs, like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Why not carry on with Christ that way? That was just an example. Go ahead, paint your eggs. Well, how do I make contact with God? You don't. He makes contact with you. We love Him because He first loved us, 1 John 4:9. He'll make contact with you. Contact. And sometimes you don't want to listen. So we talk real loud and we jabber real loud and then we hear the busy signal. Burr, huh? Because we don't want to listen. Oh, I hate to get that busy signal. But I know I'm in myself when the Lord hangs up. He comes through a divine invasion. Remember that now. A divine invasion. He takes over. There's a nursery downstairs, honey. An incarnation. An atoning death. A sacrifice. A resurrection. A living in our hearts by the Spirit. Contact was not easy. Our sins stood in the way's way. He took off our sins and He wore them. He wore our stinking, sinful rags to the cross. And His blood blotted them all out. He rushed to the Father. And the Father turns and He says, I receive, come home. Son, well done. The cross is the price God paid to get us. He made the initial contact. What's the result? Conflict. Whenever God comes to us, my God, there's always a conflict within. We react right away to His invasion. We try to preserve ourselves. We try to preserve our rights. After all, I've made it this far. I've always been a good person. I've always tried to do good. I mean, I just, hey. Self-preservation then says, you're trying to get in on a good thing. You're trying to use me, of course. God wants to use you. But we don't want to change. I don't want to. No, don't want to. I don't. How many are hearing this? Woo! Oh, God. We get get a reaction right away. Conflict comes in. Jesus says, I want you to change. Well, then we set up barriers. Then we have more conflicts. We don't surrender, and Jesus brings trouble. He demands us to change. You know, we sing sort of a song. I want to be me, just beautiful, wonderful me, with all of my sex and booze and ideas. I want to be me. Don't ask me to change or to rearrange. I want to be me, I want to be me, I want to be me. Oh, it's so much fun to be me. We hate to give up our little personalities. Oh, there's Paul. Hi, Paul. Let's see now. Who am I? Yes, I'm this to that person and this to that person. I'm this to that person, huh? And we don't want to change because we've got all these characters here, and we're in this great big play of life, and we hate to give this play up and this acting up, and we built up such a reputation, and we have such a neat personality. Doesn't he or she get along with everybody? Be careful when all people speak well of you. And we hate to give that up, see, because that's us. Hey, it's just me, okay? I want to be me, huh? Well, be me all by yourself, then. I found out it doesn't work. Oh, what's wrong with a few drinks? But I like my old friends, all right? You better lose them old friends. They'll get you nothing but trouble. Say amen. Well, who will ever minister to them? That is not your job. I just read you in there what Paul did. He moved away from all that. He moved away from the organized church and the whole works, and he went out and rented a place. He gave him the word and says, okay, I gave him the word, now get out. How many are hearing this? Ooh. Drugs? And the guy told me, but God created marijuana. And what God created, isn't it all good? Oh, yeah, fine. Well, here's a bottle of poison. Drink this. All things, the Bible says, are not good for you. Learn the difference. My attitudes? What's wrong with them? Tell me what's wrong with my attitudes! I dare you! No, I think I'll go rent out an apartment. When you get all done with that, I'll come and see me. Oh, that's not stealing, I'm just borrowing. Listen to my parents? No way. Let me tell you something about them. Had a girl come in one time, way back. You don't know her. I'm not talking. Hey, anyway. She came in, and I had met the mother, and I'd met the father. And I thought when they came, when we were going to come, I thought, oh, God, the guy will fill up the doorway. So I heard this rap, and I was supposed to meet the parents. The parents, I called. This guy was a monster. That's what she had told me. And the mother was a ghoul. And here's a little lady there standing with a little flower coming off the side, you know, of the hat. And a little teeny, meek, mild man. And they walked in, and we started talking, you know, and I thought, I said, I think you people have been misrepresented. Are you sure that you're the parents of so-and-so? Must be some kind of a mistake. No one could be that far off in their description. I was just having some fun, see, because I know all that anyway. Are you sure now? Have you got any identification? And the daughter comes in. And I said, are you sure these are your parents? And I've been talking to them for a whole half hour. Are you sure? And I said, I want to tell you something. You're lucky they put up with you this long. You wanted ministry and you wanted counsel. You just be thanking God that they put up with you. They didn't have to put up with you. They could go get rent out an apartment and say, hey, come on when you're ready. And that's what they're going to do. You guys are not under any kind of bondage. This is a 30-year-old woman. Just move out. Boy, it got quiet in here. Gee, it got quiet on the radio. Huh? I think someone's excusing themselves right now. Some 30-year-old hang on, 40-year-old hang on that's been using mom and dad as their excuse. And now the parents are sitting there because the daughter's out for some Frito-Lay chips and some Pepsi. Oh, they can give it to her, Pastor Paul. Now you give it to her. Tell her that she needs a personal relationship with God. How about me? I heard one person say, how about me? As far as I know, throughout my whole life, I have been perfect. You stand over here now, sister. Just stand right there. Don't move. I want to look this over here. And all I said was what the doctors say when they examine you. What do you mean? No, nothing. No, come on, tell me. What do you mean by I said, well, you see, you're losing your perfectness. No one's perfect. No one's good. Take it right from Jesus. Treat my wife like the church? Forget it. Some people do treat their wife like the church. Or I should say the same as they do the church. They leave them for months and months and months, and they just come once a week to see them. And then it's a drag. Oh, God, it's such a drag because there's so much to do. What? Said it, and I am glad. Obey my husband! He doesn't know anything! He knows enough to stay away from you. Well, you don't understand. He's not spiritual enough. I told a woman one time, I said, look out, honey. Obey your husband is just for starters. If you can't make it over that hurdle, you're going to have to go all the way back to that. Hey, 50 years down the line. Because you haven't done that one thing. That one thing, and you grow in God in leaps and bounds and leaps and bounds, and you're at your pinnacle of spiritual success. You have arrived. There's something wrong there when people say they have arrived. You never arrive. You're always following Jesus until eternity, and all through eternity you're still going to be following and always learning. But you didn't take that one step back there. And so you're going to have to go back to kindergarten, even as big as you are now, and put on the little straw hat with a ribbon down the back and the little short dress and the white anklets and the little patent leather shoes and your little funny lunch bucket. You're going to have to go way back to kindergarten, way back, way back. There you are. And now you won't even fit in the desk. You'll have to wear that thing wherever you go as a testimony. Because you didn't follow that one rule. Well, you start singing that song. Everybody likes to go to Sunday school. That's what you're going to do. Say amen, someone. I'm preaching truth here today. I'm trying to give it balance. Jealous? Me? Some people are so jealous of each other's time. And then when they get together, they are miserable. Huh? It's like the husband tries to get out and the wife is hanging onto his leg. But darling, I have to go. Huh? Sister, you need Jesus. And the Bible says, isn't there a song? Let my people go. Huh? Oh, hey. How many know what I'm preaching here is the truth? Oh, and it hurts when conflict. I'm causing conflict and it hurts. Jesus does that. The Word of God does that. It causes conflict because we don't want to change. And so we're miserable. How many are hearing this? Spoil? Me? I'm not spoiled. I'm not. Oh, there's so many spoiled husbands, they got to have their din just right. Huh? You know, I don't like my peas bumping into my potatoes. I'm just using that as an example. You know, I like to have every... Now, these are things that are real things. These are real things. I mean, these are just nonsense, and that's the way our spiritual thing is, isn't it? You got to put it in the natural so you can... But look, there's some peas that rolled over. There's gravy on them. Who, me a troublemaker? Me? You're calling me a troublemaker, buddy? Huh? Don't you ever call me a troublemaker, huh? How many know there's a lot of troublemakers in the house of God? Oh, God, they're all over. Troublemakers! Tithe? Forget it. Pray? I don't need to. Fast? Who needs it? Brother, you just broke our chair. I mean, I think you need to fast a little bit. And then we have the people that say, you don't have to understand God. And you can live with a Jesus in your house like this. Jesus can come in, but I want to have my way too. I got something to say after all. I do. I don't want someone dictating to me, and I don't want to be convicted. And I want maybe 10 years to change. I think it takes a long time. Well, probably longer in your case, because you'll never start. Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, but Jesus wasn't the builder either. See, people, we must allow the plow and then the seed and then the sun and the rain and the harvest in our lives. I mean, you got to go the whole course and you got to be patient while the seedlings are coming up. Jesus was a troublemaker when he came. The news troubled King Herod and all of Jerusalem as well. And when he comes to live in our troubled people, he brings trouble. And then you have double trouble. I had a lot of trouble. And then I got saved. I had 3 weeks of bliss and happiness and witnessing. And oh, I was getting deep into this. Revelations from God and going to all these meetings and everything. And then trouble came. Trouble right down here in River City. I had trouble. Now I had double trouble. I had trouble before. I thought, oh God, this is hard. I thought it was easy. Where's all the joy and peace? And where is it? Jesus was troubling me. He was challenging me to change. And I found out after all that I didn't want to. There were some things I wanted to hold on to after all. I mean, I believe a person can be a Christian, but I mean, I have to go. Maybe I've gone too far. Maybe I got too religious. Maybe I'm going to too much church. Maybe I am kind of weird, like all my friends say. Maybe I should compromise. Maybe I should sort of lay back for a while, get into hiding, stay away from the church, and make a decision all by myself. Ooh, double trouble. Let Jesus trouble your troubles. How many are hearing this? Let Jesus trouble your troubles. Let Jesus trouble your troubles. You got troubles? Well, there's a reason for your troubles. There's attitudes and there's melancholy and there's all these old things and guilt and frustration and trying to hold on to a personality that stinks so bad. Huh? And there's all, let Jesus trouble your troubles. Now you got double trouble. There's a war between the flesh and the spirit. Between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Between self and the Lord. Between the devil and his demons. And between the angels and the on-watchers. And there's a trouble going on. Let Jesus trouble them. That battle that's within, let it happen. Be glad it's happening. How many are hearing this today? Ooh, are you hearing it? Let Jesus trouble your troubles and you'll feel like you're losing it. You'll feel like you are freaking out. You ever felt like you're freaking out? Hey, when Jesus really starts to trouble your troubles, listen, radio audience, tape ministry, listen to this as deliverance now. When Jesus really, and you allow him to start to trouble your troubles, and he'll trouble them anyway, but if you allow him, it'll even get, ooh. You will feel like you are freaking out. You know what freaking out is? Ah. That's good. Freak out. Lose yourself. Lose it. Die. How many have freaked out lately? Oh, come on. Ooh, God. How we need to hear the truth. How we need to hear it all over and over and over again. Let me read something here. Here we are in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Luke 15 and verses 3 through 8. And he told them this parable. What man among you, if he had 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture in the open field and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? Oh, there is an involvement. There is a conflict whenever that Jesus comes after one. And he goes after that one. And he goes out and finds that one sheep with cockle burrs all over from disobedience, from a nose all bleeding, from little feet or whatever you call those on a sheep, the little feet down there that are all bloody. He goes out and he brings him in and he hits it with a staff and he pulls it back off of that rocky crag and pulls him back in roughly and takes all the cockle burrs off and shaves all those spots, pours the ointment upon them. Even if he has to, he breaks the legs, throws them over his shoulder till that little one knows the scent and the fragrance of God. Oh, I tell you, God has come, and God is coming after, and whenever he comes after, there's a conflict. Are you hearing this? So number one, we said today, and we're closing. Contact has been made, then conflict number two comes. The action, reaction. The conclusion before the expulsion, the troubled troubles, and things get worse before they get better. There is a battle and there is a war. And when I see people in those types of things, I say, glory to God, God is doing a work. Well, it's not pleasant for the person, but God is doing a work. Isn't that wonderful when God begins to do a work? Hallelujah. And the person is miserable, and I don't understand, and I'm freaking out. Oh, God, what's happening? Conflict. God is desiring change. You are going to freak out. God is going to trouble you. So we have the battle and we have the war, and people who won't surrender always look like they've been through a war. You seen someone that won't surrender? And every day they won't surrender. They got bags under their eyes. They get the insane look, you know, the hang face. And they just look. Huh? They got that haggard look on them, you know. How's it going? Oh, God. I'm just so tired of it all. Pooey, 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 pooey. Surrender. Surrender. There is only one way. And, you know, I'm talking right now, and there'll be people, yeah, I know, but there's one more way I got to try. Some of them, they try 14 or 15 times. It's not a man, and it's not another woman. There's only one way. And so you see them the next day, and they're the same way. They're just... How's it going? Huh? Oh, God. And you know what? You got to rejoice because God's working on them. You need to tell them, you know what? God is working on you. That's why you got that frazzled look. Are you hearing this today? Huh? This is very heavy deliverance ministry in here today. I know the Holy Spirit is really moving over this radio thing here. Do you understand what's going on in here today? There's got to be some kind of humor in it. You people on the radio realize that when you're in the middle of deliverance like this, there's got to be some kind of, you know, God has mercy too. But there is a battle, and there is a war, and there are people who will not surrender, and they always look like what I just look like, their hair all disheveled. The gospel is a disturbance before there is a deliverance. Do I disturb you on the radio today? It's because I give you gospel, I give you truth. The contact and the contact and the following conflict are not the end. What's it all about? The conversion must come. The change must come. Or you're going to look the same way again. If you don't take the conversion and you don't change, you're going to look like this way until you do. God is faithful. You will look like that until that you will change. How many feel like I look right now with my hair all messed up inside their system sometimes? You know why that is? Because you won't change. Oh, you tell yourself, I've changed, but you haven't. How do you know this? Because I've done it. I did it myself. I'm just preaching about myself. I'm preaching about how I would not change. I'm preaching about how I have the conflicts. I'm preaching about that I didn't receive the conversion and get out of it because I simply wouldn't do it. I have my personality to keep up. Well, you say, what's conversion? When are you converted? That's like autos. They change every year. Conversion is change, gradual or sudden. We leave the kingdom of self for the kingdom of God by the grace and power of Christ. But you know, the moving out of ourself is like moving out of an old home with a lot of memories, and you've painted and you've sanded all the woodworks and you've done all those things. You hate to move out of that house. You get all melancholy. You think back and you go back in the little kid's room and you almost hear them. La, 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 la. You go down in the kitchen, it's all down in there, you know, and you see them moving the stuff out. Oh, careful of that table. It's been in the family for years. It's a round oak table made in 1872. And they carry it out ever so carefully. And oh, how we hate to leave the house of self. We hate it. And we drive away weaving to the house. Oh, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to leave the house of man's soul. The house of self. You will have to leave it with all of its crime and all of its... Leave it! Burn it to the ground! Leave it! You have to leave your house! Bye-bye. So long. The center of our old life is self. We hate to leave that old house. The day they tore the goalpost down, oh, memories, memories, sentimental journey, huh? Oh, lonesome me, huh? All that. We hate to leave it. Because we gather a group when we're lonesome. It's like the grief groups they have. Huh? You have the grief. You need to get in with a lot of grievers. Yeah. And the Bible says, contrary to that, it says, I will turn your mourning into dancing. And I will give you, you know, dancing in your heart, and I will give you oil of gladness. But we like to sit in grief groups. Oh, good grief. What's happening? Yes,
It was 13 years to the very day. 13 years. Well, it's been 14 years, 1 month, a month and so many hours since it happened.
That is not good grief. God. But don't we do the very same thing in our own life? Huh? Don't we? And we like to live in the old house. This old house. You ever seen that program? We fix it up and try to make it right, make it modern, burn it. Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again, born from above, all of you. Yes, you're a scholar. Yes, you know the word, but you are self-centered. You are still I. You are still flesh. You must be born again. Your attitudes are wrong. Your motives are wrong. Your righteousness shows. You're proud. You came by night to seek the light. You want to see all first, all the whole thing, but you can't see first. You must seek first. You want to experience the actual womb of birth, but that isn't the way it is. You must be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. You got to look up for your redemption draweth nigh, Nicodemus. You can't be motivated by yourself. Self can't be motivated. It is lazy. It is corrupt. It is conniving. It is complaining. It is always arguing. You need a conversion. You are a sinner, Nicodemus. Jesus was saying, you Pharisees, sin in your disposition, your prides and your prejudices, your put-downs, your self-righteousness. You have the elder brother complex. And here we have your kid brothers right here. Sins in the flesh, we'll call them. Their lust, their appetite. They're not respectable. They're outcasts. But they can see their need. Yours are hidden and you are blind. A whore will make it to heaven before that you do. You must change your center. You must first love God. You must let go of self. He can't come. Jesus has got us coming and going. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so in closing here, we have a brand new inheritance. And so the down and out need conversion. And so the up and out need a conversion. They're both out. Both of them, the world says, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. False. We have a new father and we have the new mother, the Holy Spirit of God. False. We have a new heredity. Read your will. It's right here, the will of God. How we need to get into asking God and read the will of God. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Don't blame your heredity. You listening on the radio, always blaming your parents. Always saying, well, you were bad examples. If this wouldn't happen, that wouldn't happen. I listen to you. Give up. Human nature is the most changeable thing on earth. That was a mouthful. Human nature is the most changeable thing on earth. Have you ever met somebody one day and they're just so changeable? I mean, they're just, and the next day they don't want nothing to do with you? Don't expect any more out of them. That's the way we are in the flesh. And some of you listening on the radio right now, maybe even in here, sweet people, you can change in a minute. When self is challenged, I quit. Give up. And you cop out, make excuses, blame somebody else, blame God, vision out. I have a vision. That's a way out a lot. I had a vision, and it's always running. How many in your life always had these visions, and they're always running? Ooh, blame God. Ever a revelation about destination? anything but just give up. And if we're challenged about our appearance, what happened to your face? I never noticed before. I mean, it just takes so a little bit to change a person. Someone's noticing some personal problem. I never noticed that you had pronated ankles. Talk about hate and rebellion and unforgiveness. Oh, God. I never noticed you had that little hunch in the middle of your back. And you know what? You wear your makeup wrong. Just any little thing can change your whole... Don't depend on the flesh. Don't depend on people. You can change in a minute. Hey, that smile you're wearing looks leftover. Anything. Your hair looks like a rat's nest. Have you ever heard of soap? Have you ever heard of deodorant? Oh, golly. We need a new philosophy of life. I can give you my very best today, but I'll tell you what, right now, you don't need that. It'll do no good for you. You need conversion. You need to be healed on the inner person. You need to be healed. You need to give up. You need to say, yes, there's conflict, but my God, you win. I lose. Have we got anything out of this message today? I found a brand new philosophy of living. I've found a life that's divine. I've got the joy of the Spirit while abiding in the vine. And lastly, religion is urgent. Many see the cross but don't want it. They're too self-centered. Always proving they're right. That's the most important thing in their life, is proving they are right. They will argue, choke, and fight, and stab and dump people in quicksand to have their own way. I am right. See, I told you so. And they die of a heart attack and high blood pressure. You know what's wrong? They are not cross-controlled. They try to control the cross. They get up on the cross with scotch tape. They want to be religious, but they don't want to be Christian. Not Christ-centered, but self-centered. Many let just enough Christianity in their lives to become miserable and have conflicts. Just enough of Jesus to have conflicts. Don't do that. Give up. Give up all of the way or lose your mind. Self-rule, it always compromises a situation, it always compromises change, it always compromises a message, it always compromises life. The way is fine in what shall we eat, and the way is fine in what shall we wear, but then in the big issues, the major issue is how shall I die to this thing? The major issue, show me the cross, turn me around. What's your will for me, Lord? The major issues that book self will cause conflict because self does not want conversion. Behold, it says in the Bible, I stand at the door and knock. That wasn't spoken to outsiders. Those that were the people that were on the inside, the church, Jesus is knocking on the outside. Lastly, we smile on the inside. And the world sings, oh, I'm smiling on the outside, crying on the inside, baby, I'm in love with you. I know, and as my personal testimony to you today, you can sing on the inside. You can be full of song. You know how it comes? By obedience to the Lord, by recognizing without Jesus Christ, you are superficial, you are nuts, you are off, you are insane, and the more that you try to bolster up self and hold up self, just give up, fall in a heap of stinking rags and say, my God, I can't do nothing without you. I ain't going to walk out that door without you. I'm not going to go to work without you. I'm not going to say one word without you. I'm going to seek you with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. Can I sing one more song to you? Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, all my life behind, a life with regrets and sorrows, written in the pages of time. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. You see, we have a sunrise on the inside, and when we let him rise up on the inside, we are the lights of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Have you heard this message today? We are the lights of the world when we let Christ rise up, when we let Christ light us up, when we start to do those things. We're having conflicts right now, and my God, there's so many people in conflict, and they're on the downstroke, and they're not having a good time, and they won't lay it at that they're not obeying God, but they try to get into a condition or money or this or a situation, and if they don't give up, they're going to go totally nuts, because God in the end had come to cause conflicts. He wants change. And that's when you have your right mind, when you change. How many heard this message today? It's a message to all the church. It's a message to all the people out there in the streets. Jesus desires change. And oh, how good it is to change. You listening on the radio, this was a special message for you today. And a special message for you on the tape ministry. God desires change. God desires change. Oh, I couldn't even make it through a service. I used to have to go out, you know, well, after that I got saved. I had to go outside and fidget around, and I had to go out and have my smoke. I was a slave to a stinking cigarette. But you know what God told me? He said, just change. Change your way of living. Get off of the booze. Leave the sauce. Throw the pills down the toilet. I'll tell you, there was a good many of them. I think there's a whole lot of drugged up fish out there in the Mississippi River. How many heard this message today? Hey, it's a time for a message like this. I'm thanking God for everybody that's in here. I'm thanking God for all the people that God is going to send that have a desire to work and do and to change. And then, you know, we don't want to ask for arguments over doctrine. Well, I differ in certain things. And blah, blah. I'm not asking for that. Just obey God in your own life so that people can see change. And when you start changing, you don't corrupt others with arguments. You can always tell a corrupted person that's corrupted by the devil. They always got doctrinal differences. And after all, I believe this, and I think the rapture is going to happen, you know, before this and so on. I believe in the pre, and I believe in the mid-trib, and I believe in all this. What's that got to do with following Jesus? See, that isn't even the issue, what you think or what you think. Just obey God in your own life. And when we do that, we're happy. I'm happy today. I'm obeying God. And I know I'm going to get a spiritual spanking if I don't. Probably get a dozen of them next week. But they're good for me. Because he chastises those that he loves. Every time. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God, just give it to us. And whatever it takes, Lord, for us to change, to fit into the kingdom of God, further in, walking in. You know how vast the kingdom of God is? We can walk into the streets of God, walking in. This is the kingdom. It's right here. Where is the kingdom? The Bible says the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is around you. The kingdom is above you. It's everywhere. And we're all seeking the kingdom, and the kingdom is within us. Let it out and live what you let out. Let the kingdom out. Hallelujah. So precious and so basic, and don't let some nut get you off, oh, and then run you out there, and you get outside of the kingdom and get into self again. Well, according to this and that, and ABC, don't get into that. Listen to God yourself. What is he saying to you? Ask him. Should we feed the poor? Should we do this? Should we ask God? Even if you're standing in one of these hyped up meetings, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to show you in that audience or show you in these different things that are going on right now. Not a God. Just let him show you. Say, my God, why am I in here? A lot of people come to church for business reasons. Oh, hey, businessmen listening. I know there's a lot of churches on the fringes of this city, the outside of this inner city here. They go simply for business reasons. They got their cards handy, and they do the business right in the church. I'm not against that. I think you can carry it too far. You're not seeking the kingdom. You're seeking yourself. Did you all hear this message today? Praise the Lord. Let's just praise Him right now. Oh, praise Him. Because we just desire change. Don't get on a guilt trip. God will change you right where you're at. Oh, maybe I said something you didn't agree with. But it's conflict. Got to have conflict. That's what the sword does. It causes conflict. Don't feel too good sometimes. Shup, 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 shup. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're looking for miracles down here, God. Miracle of change. Yeah, and then we know we got miracles when we start to change. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, radio audience, for not turning me off. Praise the Lord. You listen on the radio, you daughters and mothers and dads and husbands and wives, make up. Make up. Do it. Do it. Come on down here in our rented apartment down here. Yeah.